In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. This past Friday, just to say the last Friday before Lent begins, the church lectionary prescribes for us to read a passage from the prophecy of Zechariah. And the part we read has God telling Israel, "Your fasting seasons, the fasts you keep, shall be joy and gladness. Indeed, says God, your fasting will be feasts of celebration and rejoicing." And the fact that the church put this reading at the beginning of Lent is clearly to set the tone for our fasting season as well. We are invited to our own joy, our own gladness, as we enter Great Lent. And we just sang a couple of minutes ago, let us begin the fast with joy. Far from dour and morose, if there's one quality that marks the spirit of Lent for us, it is joy. It is joy. A deep, contagious joy. And yes, rejoicing is contagious. I've noticed that if someone comes in the room I'm in and they're radiating genuine joyfulness, not something artificial, but something genuine, immediately changes me. I don't even have to think it. My immediate instinct is, I want in on that spirit of gladness. And that's what God says through Zechariah. We're told that outsiders and non-believers, when they see the joy we have during our holy season, they're going to be intrigued. They're going to want some of what we've got. Now, nobody is going to be drawn into the net of faith through dour and morose. But joy and gladness, especially during a fasting season, that's inviting. That's inviting because joy is divine life. Basking in the presence of God is gladness. And God says through Zechariah, people from all over are going to seek the presence of the Lord Almighty when they see your joy. When they see your joy. They're going to grab onto your prayer shawls, God says, so as not to lose track of you on your way to the temple. That's what God tells the Israelites. And metaphorically for us here, people will take hold of your joy and gladness to discover what's your source. What's your source? Maybe they'll actually ask. Maybe they'll just watch and observe. Maybe they'll just be curious and wish for an invitation. But it is your joy in Christ that will catch the attention of those hungry for divine life. Now, gladness in this fallen world can be hard fought. It takes daily inner work to cultivate. There's an opening of the self continually to God, and only by opening the self continually to God that keeps the light lit within me. And it's hard because life hurts sometimes. And my ego self, in an attempt to protect me, does the very opposite of what's actually good for me. My ego self puts up walls. The natural emotions of fear or anger or sadness, it stokes them continuously with ominous made-up stories of how dangerous and untrustworthy the world is, and of course, getting worse. Did you ever notice the ego always thinks the world is getting worse, no matter what's happening? In a misguided effort to protect me, my ego self tries to seize control and hide behind walls of sadness and anger and fear. And into this, Jesus Christ steps. And he takes us by the hand and says, I know you have been hurt. But what if, instead of barricading your heart, you open your heart wider? And Jesus says, I'll be with you through the whole journey. You will not have to do this alone. And that's how we begin Lent, an opening of our wounded hearts, knowing that we are not going to be alone. Today, our Savior gives us the opportunity to look into each other's eyes and both ask for and offer forgiveness. When we hurt someone, it can be very hard to say sorry. Depending on our temperament and our upbringing, it can be harder still. Pride gets in the way. Or, I can't stand the feeling of being wrong. Or, I can't stand how much it hurts me that I hurt someone else. And those front-end feelings feel like death. And in a sense, they are death. Every pain that I cause others or myself is a mini-death. And the ego self wants to protect me from that feeling, so it lies. It lies, and it's got a lot of techniques. It's the other person's fault. It's my parents' fault. I'm the real victim here. Or the old standby, my gosh, it was just a joke. Why be so sensitive? Whatever the ego self needs to do to avoid the pain of responsibility, it will do. Now, one of the themes of this day, in addition to Forgiveness Sunday, one of the themes is the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. Most of us are familiar with the story. Adam and Eve disobey God, and God comes down into the garden to give them a second chance. But instead of facing the pain of being wrong, Adam blames Eve and God. Eve blames the serpent. And neither one says what every kindergartner knows they should have said. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Neither one says that. And that's not just the story of humanity's beginnings. It's a parable of my own life each and every day, day in, day out. But Jesus Christ comes here today to me and says, there's a better way. There's a more holy way. Jesus says, look at the people you have hurt and open that vulnerable place in your heart and ask for forgiveness. And just see, Jesus says, just see if I'm not in the midst of that with you. The ego self may protect me from pain for the moment, but it leaves my heart in a state of perpetual fear and perpetual mini deaths. Healing is found by stepping into the power and the light of Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness. And that is the discovery of strength and abundant life. And the same applies when someone asks me for forgiveness. The ego self says, I've already been hurt by you. Not going to risk that again. Not going to risk that again. But the Christ of your heart says, let go. Let go of that pain. Turn that sadness over to me. Let go of that anger and fear and see if I can't hold that with you. Because I am with you, and you can let go safely, and you will find life, more abundant life, by doing that. And this combination of apologizing for my own ways that I missed the mark and letting go and forgiving, or at least beginning to forgive those who have hurt me, these two realities working in conjunction are salvation. They are salvation. They are more abundant life. They are the kingdom of heaven already beginning. And there is lightness when these weights are unburdened. There is joy and there is gladness in a deeply genuine way. Bishop Basil of the Antiochian Archdiocese, Bishop of Wichita, once said, if we could live fully the reality of asking for forgiveness and forgiving, both halves, if we could fully live that in daily life, we wouldn't need Lent at all, because we'd already be in the kingdom of heaven. God spoke through the prophet Zechariah, saying, your fasting seasons shall be joy and gladness, so much so that outsiders will want a slice of what you have. To the extent that my ego self closes off my heart in a misguided attempt to protect me, to that extent my fasting season will be pain and dour and morose, or at a minimum, artificial. But to the extent that I open my heart in the knowledge that God is with me, to the extent that I open my heart to genuinely forgive and to ask for forgiveness, to that extent, my fasting season will be contagious joy and gladness. Amen.